Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." When Jesus told his disciples about his impending death, they couldn't take it in. It would not be an easy death. He would be betrayed, mocked, insulted, whipped, and killed. He would rise on the third day. And while his words were clear enough, St. Luke records that his disciples didn't know what he was talking about. It didn't make any sense to them. When it came time for God to reveal his love to the world couldn't see it. We just don't think of love the same way as God. We think that we're loving someone when we do something for him that makes us feel good about ourselves. So our feelings about ourselves become the standard for true love. Well, how good did Jesus feel when he was mocked, spat upon, beaten, and crucified? And yet, according to St. John, it was precisely in the suffering of Jesus that God most clearly revealed his love for us. We read in 1 John 4:10 and 11, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God's love doesn't float here and there, landing wherever we give our consent. No, God's love is purposeful, it is strong, it is an almighty and creative thing. Yet this world, so in love with itself that it is blinded to God's love, looks at God's love and simply cannot understand it. It turns away in horror because God's love is revealed in the suffering and death of his Son. What does this world know about love? It sings about love and deals out wars, violence, cruelty, greed, and every kind of vice imaginable. This world cannot teach us what true and lasting love is. Henrik Ibsen's character Brand, a crusty old Norwegian Lutheran pastor, speaks for us Christians when he says, "Of what the paltering world calls love, I will not know, I cannot speak. I know but his who reigns above, and his is neither mild nor weak. Hard even unto death is this, and smiting with its awful kiss. What was the answer of God's love of old, when in the olive grove in anguish sweat his own Son lay, and prayed, 'Oh, take this cup away'? Did God take from him then the cup? No, child, his Son must drink it up." God is the source of love because God is love. God's love can be known only in Christ, and we learn to know Christ in his suffering for us. For there and only there is it that the hatred within our hearts is forgiven. When we know Christ, we know love. St. Paul beautifully states for us what true love is all about. Let's turn to these familiar words from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to learn from God's word the value of love, the nature of love, and the permanence of love. St. Paul writes, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing." Love is of incomparable value. Nothing else even comes close. People are naturally religious, but that doesn't mean that their hearts are filled with love. People use religion to elevate themselves. That's what they did in the early church in Corinth, to whom the epistle of 1 Corinthians was written. Some of the people were placing themselves over others because of gifts that they had received. In the early church, God gave certain special gifts that were really quite impressive. Some Christians received supernatural abilities. Some could speak in languages that they had never learned. Others received prophetic revelations of future events. Others had special knowledge of divine mysteries. But not any of these wonderful gifts could compare with having love. Jesus told his disciples of the power of faith. He said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Matthew 21:21. God is almighty. He's our Father. He governs all of nature for our benefit. Consider the power of faith. But having access to God's almighty power over this world is not as valuable as having love. We need nothing more than we need love. If we were to offer all that we are and all that we have to help the poor, it would pale into nothingness without love. Simply put, with love we are wealthy and have all things. Without love, we are impoverished and have nothing at all. Nothing is as valuable as love. What is the nature of this love? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So writes the apostle. Love is valuable because of what it does and suffers. We think of love as an emotion or a feeling, but love does and love suffers. The apostle describes the nature of love mostly in negative terms. He says what love is, and what love is not, and what love does not do. But when we look at the list of what love is not, we see a description of ourselves. We envy those who have what we want but don't have. We parade our own good works before the eyes of others in order to gain praise. We look out for ourselves first and become angry when we don't get our way. Love does none of these things. Love puts up with whatever it must suffer because it is genuinely kind, even toward those who mean us harm. Love finds no joy at all in the suffering of others, even when it is well deserved. Love finds joy only in the truth. Love is willing to be taken advantage of. It never gives up. Love is willing to be considered a fool if it will help our neighbor. Love always puts the best construction on what others do. The value of love and the nature of love are impossible to know without knowing the one who is love in the flesh. The hymnist says that he was begotten of the Father's love before the worlds were made. The Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father, and so it was, is, and ever shall be. It is an eternal love. There was never a time when the Father did not love his Son. There never was a time when the Son did not love his Father. This love is eternal because God is eternal and God is love. But there was a time and a place when this love was fully revealed, so that if we look there, we can see it, we can see its value, we can see its true nature. I'm speaking of where the pure love of Jesus confronted all of the hatred, bitterness, violence, and lies of humanity. He suffered long. He was patient. He responded to threats with blessings. He spoke with humility and respect even when he was treated with contempt. In so doing, he fulfilled the righteous demands of God's law He fulfilled all righteousness by bearing the hatred of all sin and overcoming it with his pure love. The requirements of love were met finally and fully. And this event stands at the center of all history. Love confronted all hatred in the sacred body of Christ, Son of God and Son of Mary. Love defeated all evil. And so love remains. Even as the world is on its way to oblivion, love remains. Everything else fails. As the apostle wrote, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is not one virtue among many. It is the only virtue. It is not part of something larger because there is nothing larger or greater or more valuable. And that's because love lasts forever. God is eternal, so love is eternal. Now, we are not eternal. There was a time when we did not exist, but there was not a time when God did not exist. There was not a time when love did not exist. God can't die, but we are mortal because of our sin. But then something happens. Christ's love comes to us in the gospel. Then we are embraced by an eternal love that will change our mortal bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto Christ's glorious body. This love brings the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, and it lasts forever. That's why we treasure it so. That's why we love one another. And we must never confuse our love with God's love. His love is perfect. He has met its goal. The goal of love has been met in Christ. And it brings us today what will remain when everything else is gone. But our love isn't perfect. It's filled with all sorts of sins. Just consider the nature of the love described here in 1 Corinthians 13 and compare that to the love that we actually show. And we can see that our love has not yet met its goal. But for God's children who know him through Christ, the Savior, there will come a time when we will love purely. There will be a time and a place when every bit of selfishness, vanity, envy, and pride will disappear from our hearts. What is now dimly revealed to us as through a glass covered by soot will then be crystal clear. We will know God's pure love. It will flow through us forever. Faith will be replaced by sight. Hope will be fulfilled by our experience of the fullness of God's love. And we prepare for that day. We have confidence in that day by looking back to Jesus, who was delivered up to the Gentiles, mocked, insulted, and spat upon, whipped and crucified. And there, in the shame that our dear Lord endured for us, we find that our shame has been removed because all of our sins have been washed away. There is the love that will take us to heaven. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, and we invite you to attend the services of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. Every Tuesday evening during Lent at 7 o'clock, we have church. Vespers at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Wednesday evening at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Thursday evening at First American Lutheran Church at Mayville. And our Sunday morning schedule is Sunday morning, 8 o'clock in Mayville, Sunday morning, 10:30 in Crookston, and Sunday at noon at First Evanger in Fertile. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.